IT Babble with Patrick and Omar.
All right, so welcome to our podcast, IT Babble, for the year.
It's been a while.
But sadly, we don't have any Orange Boom in front of us.
Oh, yeah, but we have another libation that'll do quite nicely.
Yeah, we have... Now, these people aren't our sponsors, but if they want to be, we're drinking some Guinness here, and they're pretty tasty.
Yeah, I'm sure they're killing themselves to sponsor an ed tech podcast that has -3 viewers.
You never know. Anyway, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Learning 2.011 conference in Shanghai. PLNs, QR codes, GradeQuick, the new software Clarify, and some upcoming events that we're going to be holding, right?
Yeah, a Photoshop webinar. It's pretty exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah. My idea is to charge, to get 5,000 people to join and charge them $1,000 each.
Perfect.
I think we're going to be a packed house.
Yes. We can't retire off of chump change like that, but, yeah.
It's a start.
So the conference was a great conference that I was not at. Patrick and I were planning on going together.
Yeah.
And
you had paid for the conference.
Yeah, I had paid for it. I was planning on presenting, and Patrick was planning on presenting. We're actually gonna probably present together, and everything was working out well until my passport fell apart. And I had lots of traveling over the summer, and my main page was about to fall off.
Yeah.
So heed my warning. If your passport is about to expire or is falling apart, get it renewed as quickly as possible. Do not delay.
Do you have it back yet? Is it still?
Almost.
Yeah. Still at the consulate?
Yeah, I have one more week and it'll be here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I made the trip by myself, and... But there were friends on the other end in Shanghai waiting for us, so it was nice. It was good to catch up. The conference was really good. It's a little disorganized at times, but I think that's just any conference, right? That many people and everything. And many of the workshops were really good. I presented Edmodo, and you can find my guide on IT Babble, and it went pretty well. But a big theme that a lot of the keynote speakers were talking about, and that a lot of the there were a lot of workshops about, it was developing or using or the advantages of having and investigating and using. A personal learners network, or PLNs.
Our website is IT Babble, by the way.
It's IT Babble. You know what I found on our website that we need to fix?
What?
Actually, I didn't find it. Somebody named Tony wrote a comment.
Yeah.
It says our banner at the top says IT Babble.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah. Yes. Did you see that? Yeah, we misspelled the word.
We were just trying to see if you were paying attention.
Yeah.
And you were,
yep.
Tony.
Thanks, Tony, for catching that. We misspelled education, which I guess it does take away some of our credibility.
As educators.
Educators. So we'll talk about PLNs here, mm-hmm, a little bit. And I don't have a super developed one, but with Edmodo, you can connect with teachers from around the world and ask questions. And I found that very helpful. And I found some things on Twitter helpful, but I'm not a huge fan of Twitter because there's so much information that just passes through in a day that it's.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only following with our IT Babble. You can follow us on twitter.com/ITBabble. We're following about 300 people, and the amount of information that comes through in just an hour is pretty staggering.
Yeah, it's and it tends to just be a lot of links, so it's almost like a constant web quest. So you're going to get a blurb, but most of the time you're just going to get links, and sometimes you get some really worthwhile links, but you're just going to be following links and spending so much time just going through all that information.
Yeah. I mean, Omar and I each have over 100 students to teach, and it's just hard to find the time to sit down, and Omar's right. I've tried to do it, and it can just really consume, you know, hours and hours, and And you do come across some great ideas and great gems, but boy, the time invested sometimes, is it worth the reward?
Yeah. I saw once, and unfortunately, I can't remember the website, but I'll try to look it up. It was a PLN where students or teachers would be able to gather their resources that they've collected and kind of organize them in a kind of a graphical interface online.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was pretty cool because it would either take a screenshot or a logo or whatever picture you want. And so there's a graphical reference of it. And it put it all into one place. And it was kind of cool because it's kind of like a bibliography, but kind of a live bibliography.
Yeah.
So I found, let's say, 10 resources on topic XYZ, and I can keep them there. I can add to it. I can take away from it. My friends can see it. So I might find 10 really good ones. Patrick might find 10 really good ones. And now we have, between the two of us, we have 20. So it was kind of interesting. Yeah. And I think I like it because it gives the student a chance to organize their learning and their resources, makes them active in that aspect.
Yeah, I like the PLN. I like the idea of it. It's just, it's sometimes hard to find the time to invest it. I know, and the keynote speakers, they said over and over again that it's worth the time to invest in it. And it's certainly a good, you know, a good trait to teach students, you know, to, mm-hmm. to reach out and get that extra information to reach beyond their circle of friends or their closed-in world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so PLNs are pretty good. Pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, I'm planning on experimenting with them this year, for sure.
So shall we move on to QR codes or quick reference codes?
We should.
Okay, I wrote a post about QR codes and how I just don't get them, okay? For a little background, QR codes were developed in Japan and have been around since the mid-90s, so they're not new, but they're starting to blow up here and in North America and then the West because you see them on billboards, you see them in magazines and newspapers, on buses, you know. And what it is, you take your smartphone, your iPhone, your HTC, your Android, whatever, and you download an app, and the apps are usually free, and you scan it, and it usually takes you to a website, or you get a special offer, or it emails you or sends you a text message, or you know, it can do a whole multitude of things, you know, take you to a video. And a lot of people have been using them for education, and I just think for everything that they use it for in education, I think there's a better alternative out there that's a whole lot cheaper and a whole lot more reliable.
Yes, I agree. It's like an Easter egg hunt, okay? How many eggs can you hide underneath one leaf? You could probably hide a few eggs. There are going to be a few cool surprises for the child, but in the end, you're so limited. It's a QR code, it's a barcode basically, and you can add, I can't remember exactly how many characters, but I think it's like 1,000 characters.
Yeah,
something of that sort.
Yeah, something like that.
So yeah, you can have a little information in each QR code. You can do some scavenger hunts and add maybe a little techie twist to your scavenger hunt, but is it really going to enhance learning?
I don't think so. No, it's only 15 years old and it's starting to blow up. What inspired me to write the post was in Mashable. They said QR code use has gone up 4,000% since last year. And that's pretty staggering, 4,000%.
Yeah, I would say that it's 4,000% because the advertising industry has probably realized that, oh, hey, look how many smartphone users there are.
Yeah.
Why don't we put this out? To me, I think it's something gimmicky.
Yeah.
I mean, even the advertisers who are pouring, you know, billions of dollars into billboards and all kinds of advertisements, their usage is pretty superficial as well. If a QR code is on a billboard, really all it's going to be is a link to their website.
Yeah.
Really? Thank you. I couldn't have guessed that the Gap billboard website is maybe gap.com.
That's exactly what I did over the summer. I used it and I was just like, that's disappointing. I felt cheated. I felt a little slighted, you know. But there are a lot of people out there who are using them, and you know, I keep using them, people. I mean, why not? To me, I don't see the point in it. It's just, you can make a scavenger hunt with index cards and envelopes, and it's a lot cheaper, and I don't know. I mean, I guess if you live in an affluent place where everybody has a smartphone, or maybe your school has a set, or iPad 2s, or something like that.
Or touches.
Yeah.
iPod touches. And yeah, then it's cool. It adds that element, that kind of that, like I said, it's gimmicky. It's kind of a cool way of doing it, but is it enhancing learning? Is it meaningful? I don't know.
No. One blog post I read, and I can't remember who it was, but I referenced it on the blog. I actually put a QR code with all my references.
Nice.
Isn't that great? I referenced it on the blog, and she goes, yeah, I was holding just kind of a meeting to promote some technology, and I had the big, giant QR code on these posters that I hung around the school, and it generated a lot of interest, but that's not education. That is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're promoting something in an interesting way to draw attention to people to come to the workshop. And it's great. It worked out for this person. And these people got to learn about some other technology and integration tools. And that's fantastic. But that's, you know, let's call it what it is. And it's just marketing.
Yeah.
Oh, QR codes. I wrote... In August, I wrote a post about GradeQuick, and it was more of a venting post of how tired I was that GradeQuick wasn't properly being updated. I mean, GradeQuick is, you guessed it, it's a grading program, you know. Not a grading program, but you can keep all your grades in it. And it, you know, it'll weight them, and it'll come up with the average and everything. And it hasn't really changed since the 90s. And it's just, it works fine, but it's frustrating.
It's frustrating. Got so many bugs.
Yeah.
And I think it's a situation where this company has a distribution channel. They have people who rely on this software, but they're not spending the time to update it in a proper manner.
Yeah. What really broke the camel's back for me was I emailed them because I just upgraded to Lion, which is... That's neither here nor there, but I wanted to know if there was support for it, because I had read in the Apple discussions, Apple forum, that there were a lot of people really upset with the performance in Snow Leopard, that it was just crap. And so I emailed them. I said, "Do you have support?" And it was a stock email that they were sending to everybody, and it came back and it pretty much said, "No, we don't support Lion because Apple never gave us enough notice." This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You could, if you're a developer, like the people at Edline who make GradeQuick, Lion has been available since February 2011, 5 months. There was plenty of notice, and they didn't develop it, and they tried to blame it on Apple, and that just made me even more angry. And so I wrote this post, and gosh, we have like 20 comments on there.
Yeah.
And more are coming in every day.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating, and when your school relies on it, and it's buggy or it lags or there's no support for the latest OSs, that's just frustrating.
Oh God!
Here, I'm getting real close to the mic. Edline, you need to get your act together.
Okay, there we go.
Now you said you wrote that in August.
Yeah, I thought it was August, wasn't it? Or was it September? I thought it was August.
I don't know. I'm just impressed that you wrote anything over the summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't a machine like you, Mr. Ghost, in there.
Yeah.
I
post a lot. They just never show up for some reason. They must be on my other blog.
That's got to be what it is. Another thing that I found, and I found this on the unofficial Apple weblog, or TUAW.com, they were talking about a cool new Mac software called Clarify. And just a few days ago, Clarify released a Windows version. And they're both in beta, so they're free. Just Google it, Clarify. And Clarify is pretty cool. I was just showing Omar right before we recorded. So Omar, tell him what Clarify does, because it's pretty...
All right. So if you're doing, let's say, a tutorial, and you need to take several screenshots, let's say you're explaining a process... There's so many ways of doing this. You can use Photoshop. You can use built-in screen capture functions in most any OS.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always that that problem where you're kind of you're using multiple pieces to create this one item. And Clarify basically just brings it all together. It's really, really cool. You take your screenshot, and then it has annotation tools and a kind of a built-in way of organizing your information around each screenshot. So, for example, if you have three steps, you take your screenshot and you can write, you know, step one, add some information about it, take another screenshot, label that step two, write some information.
Yeah.
And you can create your whole tutorial like that, and it puts it in one place, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and what makes it even more powerful is once you're done, you have a couple options. You can export it as a PDF. You can actually tell it to export it as a PDF and put it into a mail attachment, so you can just start email it right away. You can copy the whole thing to your clipboard, so you can paste it in, say, a Word document if you wanted to. And you can actually send it. They have a server, and it's free to sign up. It's a free account. You can send it right to the server. It gives you a nice shortened hyperlink, like a Bitly hyperlink or something, and you can share that with whoever you want. So you don't have to send, say, a 7 megabyte, you know, document to 30 people about how to use a particular software or something. You can just send that those 30 people that link.
And that is cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, and they just updated it. Like I said, they have a Windows version. It's quite stable. It crashed on me once. But I could have been lying that made that. The only thing I don't like about it is, like, when you make a step, right? Sometimes you want more than one image right next to there. And you can put an image one on top of the other, but not next side by side. And I wish you could do that. But, I mean, it's beta version, so who knows? Maybe in the future.
Well, and eventually, you know, like, let's say you put it, let's say you're doing it on your blog. You can always maybe edit that right before you post it.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a feature that they could add in.
Yeah, a cool feature would be if they supported video or audio annotation, right? Like, you're talking them through it. You're like, first, turn on your computer, and second, wiggle the mouse. And okay, I'm just being stupid. I'm being stupid now.
It's been a while.
It's been a long while
since we've done this.
We're a little rusty. This is and if you're counting, if you're avid
IT Babble podcast listener.
And I don't think we have any of those avid IT Babble listeners.
I don't think our wives even listen to it.
No, I'm sure they don't.
It's okay.
I'm sure they don't. But if you are one of those people, if you are the one, if you are the Neil, well, that's stupid. I'm not even going to go there.
Don't go there.
If you're that person, I don't even know what I'm talking about now. What were we talking about?
All right, we were talking about Clarify, but we're going to move on.
We are going to move on.
Patrick is babbling.
You know, here's something I wanted to bring up. Right. We've been doing IT Babble now for just over a year. Like, we started it in July of 2010. So it's been about a year, and we have about 115, 116 posts. And when we started, like,
about 115 of those are Patrick's, and I think I have one or two.
No, you have like 12.
I've got a dozen or so. A dozen or so.
But when we started, we were averaging around, 350, 400 views a month.
A month. Yeah.
But now our blog is starting to catch a little fire, and we just want to thank you guys out there because spread the word, because it's fantastic. You know, it just motivates us more every time we see that. You know, when we get 150 views in a day, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, I know it's small. It's not like Gizmodo or anything where they get hundreds of thousands of views a day. We will get there. With your help and donations. No, you don't have to donate. Just beer.
Just link.
Just link us. Link us
somewhere.
Please link us.
Put us on Facebook.
Yeah. Twitter us. Twitter us. Tumblr us.
We're begging.
Tumble us.
That's not. Tumblr us. Tumblr us.
Sounds like a toy store.
But before, I mean, we're getting close to the end of our podcast. We try to limit our podcast to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell you about something pretty cool. We've been talking about the possibility of doing webinars, and that possibility is going to become reality, I think, very soon.
Yeah.
And the topic is?
The topic is Photoshop. When I was at the conference, I'm going to tell the Paulo story. Should I tell the Paulo story? I'm going to tell it.
Well,
we're going to go over our 20 minutes. Yeah. I want to tell it. I don't
care. All right, well, tell them about the webinar first, okay, because right. that's how we're going to make our millions, and then you can tell them.
Okay, so I did a workshop on Edmodal, and it went pretty well. It went pretty well, and Paulo Valenza, who is not posted ever on IT Babble, because he's part of IT Babble. He is,
yeah.
I'm sure. Hopefully he'll listen to this. And if he is, he's
He was always
right
a
now.
Naysayer. He's always a naysayer. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, when we're making our millions, why do I keep talking about money? We're educators.
That's right.
When we teach...
Our millions. Anyway. Whatever. Okay. So Apollo was doing a workshop on Photoshop 101, just really basics. And we had a pretty eclectic group in there. We had some people who had never used it before, and we've had a couple people who had been teaching it but wanted to know some, I don't know, just some other basics to teach. And it went pretty well. It wasn't very structured, but it went pretty well, and we thought we did a pretty good job. And it's just everybody we talked to was like, wow, that's fan, that was really good. Can I have your email address? Where do you have videos? Where can I find there's just all this hunger for knowledge of how to use Photoshop. And so one person said, you guys should just put on a webinar. And I was like, wow, that's a great idea. And I know, like I said, Omar said, we've been thinking about it. But we didn't know really where to start or with how to reach out to people, and so this I think we've got a foothold and something to start on. So.
I'm a huge Photoshop fan, and had tried to do some Photoshop, enter some contests.
Came in third. Didn't
I did come in third on Worth 1000 on one of my little...
And there were hundreds of entries.
Yeah.
So let's not belittle that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Now, he did say that it was the 10 and under, and he was 33 at the time, but that's okay.
So here's you mentioned Paulo Valenza. Okay. And
right.
you actually told me a really interesting story that I really want to hear again.
Okay, so at the conference on day two, the first night was just a keynote speaker with Kim Cofino. If you don't know who Kim Cofino is, Google her, because she's wonderful. And the next day, they had keynote speakers right at the beginning of the day. And I forget his name, but a person from Concordia International School, which is in Shanghai, he was part of a group that started a student film festival. And it's grown to it's pretty cool. And he was showing us one of the winners from last year, and it was a great film. But as soon as he starts showing it, I mean, it's in the theater, the lights are on, but so it makes it hard to see the screen. So he's asking for the people to turn off the lights. Well, the people up in the booth, they only have control over the sound, I think. And so our friend Paulo Valenza, who was next to a bunch of breakers, he knew that you had to flip the breakers to turn off the lights. So he walks over the breakers, opens up. Now, granted, there are about 430 people here. Flips a switch, and all the lights, including the projector, go dead. And and everybody goes, oh. And Paulo, we love you. But you were really embarrassed. And he just kind of walked out. There was like a little door. He just kind of walked out for a second. I mean... He came right back, and he was helping to fix the problem and everything, but it was pretty
And that's
funny.
What we call a fail.
So Paulo...
You better post, we'll just keep ragging on you, man.
Anyway, so I guess the Photoshop webinar, we're going to be putting some details on our blog. And
yes, sir.
And, yeah, and I think just keep looking for it. I think it's going to pop up in the next couple of weeks. We just have to figure out, like... exactly what we want to put on there and how long and that kind of that those kind of logistics. Yes,
logistics.
Yes. But other than that, is there anything else?
No, I finished my drink, so
I got a little bit left here, but we have to edit, so there's a whole other beer in the fridge. I guess for IT Babble, I'm Patrick Colley.
I'm Omar Gosen,
and we'll see you hopefully before next year, or at least
yes,
yeah, if you have
for
more podcasts coming. Yes, all right.
All right.
Bye.